It's Friday, so let's open the newscast talking about beer. Thanks for coming by again today. In other business news, Pfizer has moved forward with a request for emergency approval. Young people are fleeing the cities. The Fed and the Treasury are, in a word, sparring. Bill Gates on COVID-19. It seems folks are back to hoarding again. We've got the Wall Street Report, and the housing market is hot. Also today, because it's Friday, Jeff Pitts is in with our hyper-local look at stuff to do in the Greater Des Moines Metro this weekend into next week. But first, the news.
Insight on Business, the News Hour, is made possible through the support of the HR professionals at Oasis, a paychecks company at oasisahr.com. Taro International, a company that trains business leaders to be more successful. Achieve, lead, and outclass with Taro, T-E-R-O.com. The National Tractor Parts Dealer Association, with members in the United States, Canada, Great Britain, Australia, and New Zealand, ntpda.com, and AARP, where they work to provide leadership in a host of issues from healthcare to creating more livable communities. Learn more at aarpiowa.org. The business news is next.
Once again, thank you, Hunter Pease, and welcome to the Friday edition of the Business News Headlines. I'm your host, Michael Libby. Let's talk beer for a moment, shall we? City Brewing is a contract brewing company based in Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, and Tennessee, and it may be for sale, and it could bring $1 billion. All of that according to people familiar with the story. The company produces about 40 different brew recipes for contract brewing customers, including the Bronx Brewery and Dubuque Pilsner. City Brewing had made Guinness Blonde American Lager until Diego moved production to its own brewery in Maryland. City Brewing, they didn't return calls for comment, and the people who shared the story said no decision has yet been made. Pfizer has filed with U.S. regulators for an emergency use authorization for its COVID-19 vaccine, seeking clearance for an experimental shot that's expected to play an important role in an immunization effort to halt the virus. An emergency clearance would allow Americans to access the vaccine before it's granted full approval. It's likely to be the first to be made available on a limited basis to health workers and older Americans. Earlier this week, Pfizer said its experimental vaccine was 95% effective, protecting people of all ages and ethnicities from developing symptomatic COVID-19. So far, there have been no significant safety problems in the trial that included nearly 44,000 participants. According to new research from investment management group Cohen & Company, there's been a noticeable migration among people ages 25 to 34 from urban areas to suburban areas. Among the 2,700 people Cohen surveyed, 48% of millennials reported living in the suburbs compared with 44% last year. Those who reported living in cities fell to 35%, down from 38% last year. Cohen saw a similar trend among Generation Z respondents, or those aged 18 to 24. 49% reported living in suburbs, up from 41% in 2019. Two things are contributing to the move: starting families and COVID-19 has made living in close proximity to others a bit less desirable. The markets ended the week down, with some significant issues being the reason. Now, true, there's the pandemic, but another wrench was thrown into the mix late yesterday. The Treasury Department and the Federal Reserve are engaging in an unusual clash over the fate of emergency coronavirus lending programs set to expire at the end of the year. Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin wants the Fed to return money allocated for the emergency lending programs which were set up by Congress in response to the pandemic. Now, Mnuchin said in a letter to Fed Chairman Jerome Powell that the funds are no longer needed because they have, quote, clearly achieved their objective, end quote. Now, though the programs of up to $454 billion are largely unused, they were seen as a vital part in shoring up the market confidence when Congress passed them back in March. The programs the Treasury is requesting to wind down include one that supports short-term debt issued by states and municipalities, as well as one that lends to small and medium-sized businesses. But the Fed, which manages the program, is pushing back against Mnuchin's request, setting up a rare public conflict between the two bodies responsible for U.S. economic policy. The uncertainty? Well, the uncertainty helped the markets fall. I'll share those numbers with you in just a bit. Microsoft founder and billionaire philanthropist Bill Gates referred to the U.S.'s inability to control the spread of the novel strain of coronavirus as mind-blowing during a recent interview hosted by Bloomberg. Speaking at a multi-day forum backed by Bloomberg New Economy this week, Gates said the country lacked the proper testing and tracing protocols, though he did give the U.S. credit for spending billions of dollars to fund research into vaccines and treatments. Gates warned that the coming months could be very rough as the viral spread is anticipated to accelerate in the winter months before vaccines can be widely distributed. For those who thought we might be over pandemic stockpiling, you can think again. A resurgence of the virus has prompted a new wave of panic buying reminiscent of the nightmare in March that left shelves bare and forced retailers to limit purchases. Now, consumers are rushing to snap up staples like toilet paper and disinfectant wipes once again, but retailers say they're more prepared to deal with panicked hoarding. Companies have spent months simplifying supply chains, adding shelves, bolstering staff, and establishing precautionary measures, but don't rule out the possibility of price spikes or temporary shortages. Stock indexes finished the week with a whimper, finishing lower as the market capped a choppy stretch of trade framed by rising cases of coronavirus and worries about government support to help businesses and workers. The Dow Jones Industrial Average closed the day down by about 220 points, or 0.8%. The S&P 500 index closed the session down 0.7% lower, while the NASDAQ index closed off by 0.4%. For the week, the Dow and S&P 500 ended down 0.7, and the NASDAQ finished the week up by 0.4%. And as we just reported, the U.S. Treasury's decision to allow several emergency Federal Reserve programs to expire against the wishes of the Federal Reserve deflated some of the bullishness on Wall Street. However, stocks had been mostly punching higher on the five-day trading period on the back of further upbeat vaccine news, but concerns about a spotty economic recovery as the viral outbreak assumes a new deadly phase has caused some selling and repositioning on Wall Street heading into the holidays. And finally, there is this. U.S. home sales shot up to a 14-year high in October as a large majority of Americans continue to work from home due to the pandemic and rethink their living situations, taking advantage of some of the lowest mortgage rates in 50 years and snapping up single-family homes across the country. It is a rare bright spot for the economy, says the Wall Street Journal, and one of the best runs for the housing market in years. Yet, with demand outstripping supply, many would-be buyers are being priced out and bidding wars are on the rise. Okay, enough already with the heavy news. Time to lighten the mood a bit. It is Friday, and we've got Jeff Pitts, the managing editor of City View Magazine, in to do a hyper-local look at stuff to do in the greater Des Moines metro this weekend into next week. Let's go. Have some fun, all right.